Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. I love everything the Holy Spirit helped me understand. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, when you follow God, He helps you clear up things that hold you back. You have a greater comparison because when you pay attention to Him, and He show you something, and you receive it. Not argue, but receive it. Whatever you do, it takes energy. It takes a lot of effort. Whatever it is, good or bad. Any goals you have, it takes a lot of things to... It takes a lot of energy, planning, and diligence to pull it off right. But when you follow God, He'll help you focus your best efforts in the most perfect direction. And there's a lot of reasons why following God benefits you. Benefits not only you, everybody, because God thinks of everything. He don't, you know, you're included, but He thinks of everything. Now, but remember something. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that principle and what I'm going to say. Sometimes people have goals that will make them happy. But if they follow the path God give them, it will bless. It'll end up being a blessing for many, including you. And there's more joy in it because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I learned these things as I paid attention to the Lord and I had to change my thinking process many times. And I would wonder, why is God going this way? Why? I would ask Him. I say, Lord, why are we doing it this way? And sometimes He'd clue me in on it, and sometimes He'd wait. He'd tell me, He'll just show me what to do. Now, every time He told me what to do, there was always peace and joy. I had peace that this is God. That's my first gift. Peace is the first gift. You're going the right direction. And then as I obeyed Him and acted on it, my joy increased. The times that I was reluctant, I was more sorrowful. I was walking away from the peace and the joy. But as I did it in obedience, and you know, as I was willing and obedient, my joy superseded my animosities and my apprehensions. And then over time, I saw why God did it that way. So when you follow God, there's no poverty at all in following God. And the areas of my life that wasn't corrected yet, there were parts like in my business life, I did it my way. In my ministry life, I did it God's way. And eventually, the strength of the ministry helped me in my business. Doing mechanic work is not easy in the first place. That's why I say whatever you do, it's going to take a lot of effort. But in the knowledge I learned from following God helped me to be better organized. And better, I did things in a greater way. I saw where it's wiser to be proactive in how you fix a vehicle. If you're taking old belts off, for instance, don't put old belts back on. They're going to break and your customer's going to be stranded. Go back with new. And all I had to do is explain it to people and they understood it and it works. Now, the principles you learn as you follow God applies everywhere. It's up to you to apply it. But now, I want to get back to focusing on Him. When you're focused on Him, you know, you don't have to wait on corn to grow to be happy. the duration of time it takes for things to unfold, you don't have to focus on that. It's just like a weightlifter in the gym working out in a mirror. You'll never see your progress in a mirror because the progress is gradual. You have to work out away from the mirror in order to notice your progress. There's no reason to sit around and watch corn grow. What you believe in God for, it's a done deal. focus on him and what he's saying. You're already complete in Christ. Now, I said that to say this. What we focus on determines our attitude and how we do things, and the energy we put into what we do, the efforts we put forth. But when you're focused on him, you're being edified all the time until processes of life happen. And it happens at its appointed time, not at our time frame. But nevertheless, your will not be lost. You won't lack anything. In fact, the Lord will help you use everything that you're interested in. And it's gonna be included in his purpose. And I've seen it so many ways. That was a guy at church. He started a motorcycle ministry, very effective. He got people saved on the weekends. They do a ride. They come back and they go down on bike week and 1,000 people get saved. They gave their hearts to Jesus. So this is, and it included the motorcycles that he loved. Now, whatever you're interested in, boats, motorcycles, cars, whatever it is, God can use that. But when you're looking at the Lord, your will be included. You're going to be well taken care of and blessed because you put God first. And he's going to help you serve man, which is the highest priority. And you're going to enjoy the process as you do it. Now, I want to share this. The Lord had me to look at Genesis 10. A lot of the hindering problems that we deal with in life originated here after the flood. Before the flood, God did a judgment. After the flood, he began to build society. And a lot of the negative things that were introduced in society began here in Genesis 10. And I want to point some of them out. The enemy, the things of God is not without a fight. The enemy will resist anything that's of God. He's trying to stop it. But guess what? He's defeated. Jesus put Satan under our foot. We have to walk on his head. We have to be the master here. The Lord told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. As we live in obedience to God, as we submit our life to God, Satan can't deal with that. There's nothing he can do about that. He has to accept it. He doesn't like it. He hates it. He wants to kill us. He wants us dead. But he has to do whatever we say, because Jesus gave us the same authority that he walks in. With that being said, Satan uses deception and tactics to get people to believe the opposite of what Jesus taught us. And if he pulls it off, he'll make himself the master through your fears, your disobedience, and your lust and greed and pride, especially your pride. And today is Friday, August the 27th, for the record. But I'm going to continue going. When I give the date, I'm just going to keep going. I just like to throw that out there. But the enemy wants to stop the works of God. The earth had just been judged. All the giants were dead. Satan's plot was annihilated by the flood. So he uses the curiosity of man against man. There are sometimes people that are born in a good home, but they have children. Now, every person has to be saved. You would think that a child that comes from a godly home would be godly like the parents. That's what people expect. And that's a good way to put it. But that's not the way it is always. Genesis 10. Sometimes parents are children from good homes, just like mine. I came from a very good home. My parents loved me. I felt safe. They loved each other. And I was born at a time where they were older and they had walked with the Lord, both of them. and they were pastors. My mother served my father in the ministry, and my dad, he loved God, and he took ministry serious. He was a World War II veteran. He saw how life can get if people turn their back on God. And he didn't know everything, but he was very wise, and he didn't talk much. He was a listener. People who listen, they have more intelligence than you might think, because I'm a listener too. I grew up I'm just like my dad was. I was quiet and observant. And I knew people didn't know that I was observing them. And I knew that they thought I was simple. I even have a simple looking countenance. But one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it that people feel like they got to tell me what to do? And then he answered me. He said, I made you look simple outwardly, but I've given you wisdom inwardly to confound the wise. And then my whole life made sense. I said, I see, I can see. that explained a lot of things in one sentence or two. I thank the Lord for that. We have a design, and God likes to do amazing things with a small amount. That's why I say sometimes that God can make great change and bless millions of people with a fraction of one. And the reason I don't say one is because we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And part of us, the heart, we believe on the salvation. We have a clean spirit man. I mean, it's our spirit man has been washed in the blood. He's perfect. But the mind has to be renewed. And the body has to be put under subjection. And I'm not the kind that say the flesh is evil. I know Paul said, in my flesh there's no good thing. Yeah. But see, Jesus said it this way. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he didn't say the flesh would stay weak. If you bridle a horse, a thoroughbred, he can be bridled and he can accompany you the rest of your life. If you get a buck and bronco and tame him, he'll be your friend and he'll be loyal to you the rest of your life or his life. The flesh is no different. And I talked about that in another broadcast. Your flesh can be an asset and not a curse. So, and your mind can be renewed. If John said renew your mind, if Paul said renew your mind, then it can be renewed. And the Lord will help you do it. But the reason I say a fraction of one, sometimes renewing our mind can be in an incomplete stage, and God can still do a mighty work in our lives. And then our body is dying, beside the fact that it's bridle. We may not, you know, when you're aligned, everything works better. That's when you're perfectly aligned. Your spirit is looking to God. You renewed your mind. You're in agreement with your heart. And your body is doing whatever commands it gets from the heart and the mind. And everything's in alignment with the will of God. So, and Paul did this. He built tents with his body to get money to preach. He was in perfect alignment to do that. He didn't just lavish himself like many do. He did it for a purpose. He included others, and God rewarded him because he was on a mission to do God's will. So, this is why I'm saying this. God loves us and he cares about us. He loves us in every way, and he wants to do great things for us. But the enemy wants to shut down the works of God, and we're not going to let him. We're going to do it God's way and overcome all whatever obstacle comes our way. The wisdom, God will give us wisdom to master. We may not know how. We have the authority, but the Lord will show us how to use that authority. And instead of just thinking of focusing on one aspect of life, if we, you know, as Brother Horton put it this way, he said, whatever you give Jesus, he's going to bless it and give it back to you. So You give Jesus your life. You write him a blank check. Say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, help me do all that's in your heart. Or just say, I will do all that's in God's heart. Now, you don't have to make a vow like I did. You can do this without making a vow. But see, when you speak a confession of faith, you're conditioning yourself to do all that's in his heart. And that's the first step in winning against Satan. Because you cannot win against Satan if you think like him. But you can win against him if you're in obedience to God. And you'll stay in obedience to God. And you'll be enthused about being in obedience to God. If you keep him first. If you don't just do what he say. Learn what he... Ask him questions so that you can be in more, so that you can be in agreement with him. Ask him for knowledge and wisdom so you can be in one of, on one accord with him. If you're confused, then Satan's got something to work with. Now, children that's born to good parents and they see good, they see the things of God. This is how the enemy works against them. He tried to get them to be curious. What's over there? When you go over your friend's house, their parents, they watch all kind of movies. It's more fun than what your parents are watching. Or, you know, what about what they're doing over there? They, you know, they do this and they do that. And he tried to make our children cute. He did me that way. I was a child of good parents. But I was also a child of praying parents. There's a lot of things I would have done. But I was interrupted until I got a certain age. Every time I decided of my own free will to do something I knew was wrong, that I would want, things I would hide from my parents, it never worked for me. Because they were praying for me every day. When I go to bed at night, I walk past my mom's room. She'd be praying at the side of her bed for everybody in the house. I know she was praying. When I rode motorcycles, I did some dumb stuff. We rode in places, if we got hurt, nobody would have knew how to come to help us. Nobody but the ants, coyotes, and rabbits. Nothing. We were in the deep woods, far away from home. But when I got older and thought about this, I said, you know, prayer works. We were near the airport, and it's a hill country. And one of my friends said, I know how to get to the trails on this mountain over by Central Plaza. Now, that's on the other side. That's many miles away from where we live. We weren't supposed to go that far. We were underage. We didn't have license. We were riding illegally. Now, riding around the community, they didn't really enforce the laws, you know. And we used that to our advantage. But we weren't supposed to go far away from the neighborhood. But we did it anyway. We went up this trail. We went through the city and went up another trail and looked back at the mountain we were just on. And we went home and thought nothing of it. But when I got older, I said, you know, Lord, I thank you for being with us. Not to mention when we used to go in the woods and jump hills. We could have been broken up. Nobody ever knew it. Especially when you're on one motorcycle. Sometimes me and a friend, we would ride together, you know, want to be on the back. And then, you know, if one of us got hurt, then the other one had to walk home to get help. And I'm talking miles. But the Lord was with us. Nevertheless, curiosity. You know, curiosity can get you in a lot of trouble. And foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. In the heart, where it's supposed to be the word. And I made it because my parents were praying for me. So, keep that in mind. The Lord wants to do us good. All right. And even though you had good parents, this happens. Everybody has child. If everybody told what happened in their life and the things that they're trying to keep secret, if they told that, you'll see the handiwork of God, how he was honoring the faith of their parents. Noah is no different. Okay, Genesis 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And look at the order now. Shem is put first. He's not the middle child. This order here, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, is the order of loyalty. Ham is the youngest. Japheth is the oldest. All right. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were born sons, and unto them were sons born after the flood. All right, now it's listing Japheth as the oldest, Gomer, and Magog, Madai, Jabin, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tirus. Gomer, Magog, The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Ripeth, and Togarmah. The sons of Jabin, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. You know, Paul of Tarshish. Kittim. Remember, Isaiah mentioned the ships of Kittim. Balaam, the prophet, when he was a prophet, mentioned how the ships of Kittim would trouble the Antichrist. And so did Isaiah say that. And so did Daniel. Said the ships of Kittim will trouble the Antichrist. I have always wondered about that. And that's somewhere near Greece, an island. Okay, and by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue and after their families and in their nations. Alright, the sons of Ham. The sons of Ham, that's where a lot of rebellion come from. The sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim, Phut and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sapta, Raama, Saptica, and the sons of Raama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. Now this is where it's finna get interesting. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. When they left the flood, they built a city in the land of Shinar. It was a plain. You know, they were traveling from the east. You know, the sun rises in the east. The sun would have been behind them as they traveled. That's why they went that way. Okay. Out of that land went forth Asher and built it Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calneh. And reason between Nineveh and Calneh, the same as a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, and Naphtuhim. Now notice that all of their names, Mizraim and all of his sons, and Pathrusim and Casluim, out of whom came Philistim, and Cathrohim. Their names ended in I-M. And I believe that's in homage to the Nephilim, which were fallen angels. And we have hard evidence, because it's in parenthesis, his son, Mizraim's son, Casluhim, out of whom came Philistine. And we know that Goliath was a Philistine, he and his four brothers, and they were giants. So this is where they introduced the giants again, and possibly Nimrod too. Nimrod was full of hatred. He hunted men. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And he built that. He began the false religions of the day. Of today's day as well. It started there in the plains of Shinar. Babylon is going to be destroyed. It's going to be given to Salt. Nothing's going to grow there eventually. That's where false religion came from, because of Nimrod. See, when, all right, we just survived the disaster of the flood. We have a clean slate. Everybody can walk according to God's word. We have a reference for judgment. We have a reference for evil. And some people will pick it up again. They're curious enough, and they love power. They have bloodlust all over again. And Nimrod began to be a mighty one. And, you know, the next chapter over, he's going to try to build a tower to heaven. God's going to have to confuse the language and divide man all over the earth. But at that time, everybody was living in the land of Shinar under one king that was in terrible defiance against God. And the seeds that Satan sowed in the hearts of these evil men, this is where your evil comes from today. It survived generation after generation. No matter how much light came, when Christ came, they wanted him dead. This is where it started. You can't reason with evil. You have to expose it for what it is. You have to use your authority as a man or woman of God. You don't have a choice unless you want to be subject to their evil. These people will kill you. They want you dead in the first place. The New World Order is their baby. And the New World Order wants you dead. The 10 nations that give their power to the beast, the power is the armies and the deception it takes to keep them loyal to one purpose. And they believe they're baited. See, all the things of darkness, they're baited with bait. Say they have an illusion of grandeur. They think that they're going to get rid of Jesus and the people that expose their light, and then they can live however they want and be rich at the same time. They have a plan for everybody to be rich. Well, guess what? I mean, let me wake you up. Disobedience has every form of poverty in it. No matter how many resources you see and can put your hands on, when you walk the path of evil, you will lose it all. But when you do things God's way, spiritual wealth gets on your life, and your life becomes indestructible, and the resources that God already gave you will be used wisely, and you will prosper infinitely forever. So, but remember something. God showed us this fact. When Cain killed Abel, the earth wouldn't produce food for him. Now there's a food shortage that they're trying to hide. But God's going to take care of his own because he's good to us. But you still, if you don't fight the good fight, you're going to suffer that in ways you don't have to. Okay. So evil men are here. And this is where it began. I'm going to read the sons of Mizraim again. Mizraim begat Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Nephtuhim, and Pathrazim, and Caslehim, out of whom came Philistim and Cathraim. And the Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Het. You know, Canaan was the one that Noah cursed, because Shem and Japheth covered up his nakedness, but Ham saw his nakedness, and Canaan lay with his grandfather because Canaan was cursed. Now, Pierre Stone pointed that out, and I believe him. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. And Heth was the daughters of that married, two of Heth's daughters married Esau. And they were grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Nevertheless, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were all families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, forgive my interpretations, and even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Unto Shem also, the father of the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even unto him were children born. Again, the people that would be a godly lineage had trouble conceiving, but they broke through. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. The children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And in his days, all the continents was in one place. You remember when the second day, the Lord said, let the waters be in one place. If the water was in one place, the land would be in one place. Consider it. But in the days of Peleg, the land divided. Not thousands and thousands of years ago. I mean, not like they say in scientists, but in the continents began to divide in the days of Peleg.